Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 This is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and baby, Jesus! Help us.
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick Radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in California.
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope on this cowboy, guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that doctor, homie. Fuck that. Black me. Out.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
Oh, shit!
It is Wednesday, November 19th, 2014. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris. I got a lot to talk about tonight. I attended Jersey All-Pro Show over the weekend. I'll definitely, you know, review that whole thing, NFL talk, everything else. Before all that, though, I do believe I have my guest on hold, and that is Speedball Mike Bailey.
You there?
Yes, sir. How you doing, man?
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
I'm doing very good. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. So, yeah, I wanted to have you on the show. You know, I actually just became aware of your work pretty recently when you came into CZW and, you know, wanted to learn a little more about you and that whole thing.
Right.
So, as a kid, were you a big wrestling fan?
Of course. I was the biggest wrestling fan. I started watching wrestling when I was 7, and at probably 11, I was the biggest indie wrestling fan ever. Got into Ring of Honor and all that stuff. Forgot completely about WWE and started watching Japanese wrestling on the internet. Downloading matches over Kaza. If anyone out there remembers Kaza. Good old file-sharing device.
Yeah. I'm breaking up a little bit. I don't know if it's something good.
Give me just 1 second.
All right.
Hello?
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds
better. Yes. Is it better?
Right. Yeah, it sounds better. All right, so, what was, your main interest as far as wrestling as a kid? What was your favorite stuff?
The flips and the kicks, which is probably what I've based my style on right now. I was a huge low-key fan, a huge Paul London fan. A huge Jack Evans fan as soon as he came in, which was a bit later on, though. I thought he was a bit older. But, yeah, Loki was my favorite guy early on, which he partially inspired me to start martial arts when I was 12 years old.
Right. So you're obviously got into martial arts. You got into martial arts before you got into wrestling.
Not that much
how
before,
long did...
though. I got into martial arts. Sorry. Go on. Yeah, I got into martial arts when I was 12, and I started officially training wrestling when I was 15, so there was not a huge disparity between those two.
Oh, wow.
I've been at it for
a while.
So,
when you got into wrestling, was it a lot easier as a transition because you had martial arts training?
Yes, it was also a lot easier to transition because I have an older brother who started wrestling he started training with the IWS when he was 14 and I was 12. So he was already pretty much showing me the moves and staying one class ahead of me. He would go to their school, learn the bumps, learn the basic moves, and then try to show them to me at our martial arts school after class. So when I started officially training, I already had a bit of a base that gave me this. I knew what I was doing a bit more than the other people who started at the same time as I did. It was very helpful.
Sure. Was there any, like, pushback or heat or anything, you know, getting into wrestling because you were into martial arts and they wanted, you know, test you as a wrestler?
Not really. There was a bit more. There was more of a pushback because I was 15 years old and 130 pounds. That usually overcomes the martial arts, but I guess that's pretty much for everyone. There pretty much always is a pushback when you start wrestling. Whoever you are, people are always. It's always a rough thing.
When you started training, you trained at IWS's school?
No, I trained at the MWF school, which is the Montreal Wrestling Federation, which is now. So I moved far away from Montreal, but still. Yeah, I didn't start with the IWS. My brother did. When I would have started, but their school had already shut down when I started training.
Okay. Is your brother still a wrestler?
No, my brother stopped wrestling probably last year. He took his first retirement because I assume there will be several more. He now teaches at an Armenian school.
Oh, okay. So, you know, when was it when you actually had your first wrestling match and started actually working shows?
Oh, it happened really quickly. Before January 2006, I started wrestling. But I started wrestling in Quebec, right, which is, it's sort of a desolate place, and the cities that hold wrestling are few and far between. So when I started wrestling, I probably got to do a good match a month or something, and it tinkered slowly for a couple of years until I finally broke out and got to wrestle a bit more everywhere else.
What became more or less like your home base or your home bed out there?
It was called the FLQ, the Fédération de lutte québécoise, which was in Montreal, which ran into the, which it was a lot of fun. $5 tickets and everything that goes with it.
Okay. Where did you go from there? I mean, I don't remember, you know, what year did IWS shut down? Did you get in there before they shut down?
Yeah, I was there for their three last shows, and then I wrestled in Quebec mostly for a couple of years after that. When I really broke out, when I started wrestling for C4 Wrestling, which is in Ottawa, which they put on shows that are on par with all the top indie wrestling in the U.S., where they have crazy matches. Like, if you want to look C4 Wrestling up, find matches like Michael Elgin versus Brody Lee, and my matches with Kevin Steen, and there's a...
Right. Now, you know, during that time, too, you know, the 05, 06, around that time where those guys all broke in the U.S., did that leave any opening for you to, you know, break into the U.S., or was it a while still? I think I lost him. All right. I'll wait for Mike to call back in and see what happens. let me see. Just waiting for his number to pop back up. See what happens. Technical difficulties, folks. It does happen from time to time. So, hopefully we'll get him back on shortly. And, continue doing what we're doing. Let me see. Still not coming up. All right. All right. Well, basically, you know, some different things that I'd like to get into with Mike Bailey gets back on. He had, quite a run in CZW in a short amount of time. You know, standout match of best of the best. He was brought back months later, big match with Biff Busick. Obviously a lot to handle in a short amount of time. CZW's most prestigious wrestling tournament, to compete in that, then to compete for the world title, compete for the wire title, tag titles, all that, and, just a handful of bookings for CZW. So you got to imagine, this guy has made such a tremendous rise in CZW, and I really think this guy's going to, take the Northeast and hopefully the United States Indies by storm. I'd love to see the guy in PWG. And all sorts of other places. I think the guy's offense is just amazing. The stuff he does in the ring is just incredible. So, and then hopefully, get him back on the line in a minute and be able to, talk some more. So technical difficulties are some of the worst things because you don't really know if they're gonna, correct themselves, or if we're going to be able to, pick up where we left off, or if it's going to be pretty much all a year. So let me see what I could do. All right. I think what I'm going to do, I'm going to play a song, take a break, and then hopefully when I come back from this, I'll be able to get back to it.
And we continue on. Name of the joint right here is called Don't Say Nothing to Me. Shout to Ransom, Sneak Looch, Joel Ortiz, Big Delta, level 13 on the track. Fire!
You hear the sounds of the warrior drums, nigga. I'm dressed in all black, cause it's war in them slums, nigga. I roll with them gun triggers, I squeeze off, ripping fatigues off. Free fall, all you hear is guns and police dogs running the streets hard. Young and black with an attitude, closer to the edge, jump off without a parachute. Thug with the mind of a wise monk, never ignorant until I'm going in my trunk. Surprise,
damn!
You got slumped on the dashboard. Fast forward, niggas in the whip with they mask off. You mad saw glass doors, get smashed dog on asphalt. We running through alleyways, escaping through trap doors. I blast off, ain't another nigga iller. Rap gorilla, niggas point them out. That's the killer, type of nigga you read about. The revolution, now who you picking to lead them out? It's double bag brand. Mediocre niggas, yeah. No money getting, no bitches having. Your life is written, your IG is a liar. Who the fuck you kidding? Donnie live on the Audubon, UK, Paris, fresh out the Louboutin. Weed in my right hand, goons in the Sprinter van. What? Better go get my money, bitch. ODB, bring my nigga back. Goldie, I'm more like Richard Pryor in a match. Shoot first, you hear the thunder, it's real, nigga. Life's good, but I ain't got a problem with jail, nigga. Being broke is not my plans. I'm with the same team, not like Miami fans. This D block, my niggas in the feds. Straight up street niggas, shooters and weed heads. Shit, real talk, you ain't move a OG then.
Don't say nothing to me. Don't say nothing to me.
nigga. My mom Duke money came with Staples cousin on the 1st and 15th, like T-Mac and Vince. That ball right there made me miss my cousin. My nigga, all y'all know is Yower. Y'all don't know the hours at the table with the powder. Then you make it take a shower in a baking soda. Had a block shaking like a coward when you aim the four power. And he raised his eyebrows up, staring at certain depth. I was getting cash fast with the reaper right on my ass. I heard the step, but I ain't look back. Now look where I took rap. I'm in France getting pounds. You ain't getting hood jack, faggot.
All right, I'm back. Still waiting to see what's going on. The app that Mike was using to call in died on him. So waiting to see if he's able to call back in. You know, I'm sending him a message, and, you know, he's got the three dots blinking there. So does he's typing back, but I don't know what he said yet. So, you know, we'll see in a minute whether he's able to call back in or not. You know, hopefully so. If not, you know, we'll have to arrange something for the future. Yeah, it says he's not able to call back in. Just give me 1 second. All right, I'll just give me a second here. All right, yeah, like I said, it doesn't seem he's he had to buy like a calling card or something like that, and the thing's telling him he's out of credits. So unfortunately, we're probably gonna have to reschedule Mike Bailey's interview. So. Like I said, technical difficulties are probably the most difficult thing you could deal with on a podcast because, you know, you never know. Things happen and, you know, it is what it is. He's in Canada, so it's not as easy as, you know, most people who are able to just, you know, call in through a cell phone. At this, you know, at this point, anyone in the U.S., there's no more long-distance fees for the most part, and all those things are pretty much, you know, right across the board. You call from wherever you're calling, everything's fine. But, you know, when you go out of country, it becomes a little more difficult. And, you know, that's kind of what we're dealing with there. So, like I said, hopefully, you know, I could set up something in the future with him. But, you know, as for tonight, I think kind of beat. Make this shit sound like a... like a request line or something, but I'm going to play another track, just trying to, you know, organize my thoughts, and come back, and I'll review that Jersey All-Pro card.
Ah, fresh.
Daylight out, off your on switch. Broad daylight out, off your on switch.
What up?
Broad daylight out.
Bobby's murder thrill. Y'all niggas is guppy. They say life is a bitch. When she had them babies, I just want one of them puppies. My dogs give it to you broad day with them same things. Leave you in the middle of the street, nigga. Bang, bang.
Bang.
So what I said was, you gon' fuck around and get your head bust. Fizzy Bow, hop off of that special ed bus. To the leg bus. I'm from a block where thou shalt sell more weight than thou weigh. Send them from 100 to zero or bow face. When will you bastards learn? My life is fast and furious. Paul Walker till I crash and burn. Give it to them anywhere on the compass. This is 187 beyond nonsense.
Broad daylight out off your on switch. Broad daylight out off your on switch.
Get to know me, I do it all. I'm hood varsity, wherever they playing ball. In the street of Carnegie Hall, anonymous shots at me. Keep it on the block, Hogan Tays, broad daylight, right in front of the mall. My constitutional rights to flare arms is in play. Got Kings County in my DNA. So no, I ain't the nigga you sent for. Thinking you wanna see me with three niggas, bring three more. Fuck outta here. Homie, who wanna fuck with Hollywood Cole, huh? Brownfield, Berkowitz,
blood on the beach. Fuck your bikini, Sookie. Most of you niggas is freedom. The diabetes pussy. Yeah, yeah, y'all know who be the nicest. I'm a nice guy, but I'm sicker than the Ebola crisis. This day and age is the time and the culture of the snitches. I come from a time where we never wipe those stripper bitches. She cover up in 3/4, extash the ratchet tester. We flecking the god, I proudly call him a royal emperor. French Montana, Evan Pratt. Peace and love and brrrr, pussy, your shit's a wrap. Pinky ring shining while I'm sipping a whiskey.
Drink, nigga.
I already did my job, so you never forget me.
Never.
Tell me what niggas won't try.
Homie, what's up?
This be the A-list alumni.
Better shut the fuck up.
While I abuse these big niggas, what I'm supposed to do? Adrian Peterson, I'll abuse little niggas too.
Broad daylight, I'm off your on switch. Broad daylight, I'm off your on switch. Blah, blah, blah.
All right, so let's start over here. What's going on? Welcome to the show, for Christ's sake. So, you know, basically, it's cold as a motherfucker outside. Start off with that. It's some bullshit, man. I really can't stand the cold, and, you know, that shit came. So, and I actually tried to find, I got all sorts of computer problems over here. You know, my external hard drives that I've been dealing with, you plug them in and they stay on for like a second or a couple seconds, a minute tops, and then it kicks off. And then at that point, it doesn't want to stay on for, you know, even 30 seconds. So I don't know what it is. The lights stay on it, but it'll kick it off the computer. It's been doing this for a while. I've had an old hard drive and I actually paid to have that thing put on a new one, and the new one is doing that shit. That was, you know, at least a year ago that I had that whole situation, but now it's the same fucking thing, and it sucks. Like, I have so much stuff on there, and I want to, you know, get it. I'll have to, I guess, do the same deal where I get it put onto a new hard drive again, but if this is exactly what happened almost immediately after I got this thing to replace the other one that was doing it, what exactly is the problem? I don't know. I'm computer illiterate, so it's not a something that I have any grasp on, and you know, so it's causing me some issues. And you know, I had all these different things clipped and zandig with the "fuck you, motherfucker, it's cold outside." You know, that was definitely something I wanted to pull up today and play excessively, I should say. But anyway, so yeah, what else is going on? Oh, my dog's fucking bugging. So yeah. Went to the Jersey All-Pro show, and great show. I mean, 18th anniversary show. It's been a while since Jersey All-Pro's been back, you know. They came back, packed fucking house. A couple, you know, things right off the bat. You walk in, see a banging-ass entrance. And the reason being is Pancos Productions are on the case, you know. So you get that entrance with the screens all over the place, those, you know, kind of almost webbish looking screens, you know, all over the place, screen in the middle to play the, you know, the entrances and stuff like that. Pretty cool. And, you know, just a top notch looking production. I mean, Pancos does some of the absolute best stuff as far as, you know, what the indies have to offer and what you could actually put on. I mean, there's not much better you could do than Pancos Productions. The shit is fucking crazy. So, which I'm really glad that, you know, they were able to work that out with them because, you know, I heard the PWS people, which, you know, is going to be a reoccurring thing, me talking a little bit about them, but I heard them, you know, running their mouth and on their little podcast. And they were running their shit about, they tried to hook up with Pancos. Pancos more or less just told them, like, hey, you know, let me come by, see the arena, you know, see, you know, what we're dealing with here. And then, you know, I'll let you know what I could do from there. Like, he wants to scope out the building that he's going to put fucking lights and sounds and screens and all those different things in. I don't think that's a ridiculous thing at all. I mean, when you're working with unprofessional bullshit, like what a lot of the stuff PWS does, that just seems like foreign policy to them. So they more or less just told them to fuck off because,
they're saying, like, oh, no, what do you need to see? Like, we want to just pay you, show up. And he's like, no, like, I need to just, you know, stop by there, see what we're dealing with the building and everything, and then we can come up with a plan. And, again, I mean, some of the, you know, those buildings have house lights that can't turn off. Some of them have this, some of them have that. You know, the lighting in different areas is always going to be different depending on the building. So you would expect that would be something. But, you know, Pat Buck came on his podcast the 1 week, and I rarely ever listened to it. But someone had told me that he was talking ridiculous shit about, you know, all sorts of things. So I, you know, tuned into it. And he was just going off about that and, you know, just saying, like, fuck him, you know, they told him to fuck off. And I don't understand it. You know, you got to understand, too, my heat with them, I guess call it heat. I don't even like to call it that. That's a wrestling term. It's not really my style. But my issue with them stems from me going to one of their shows. I had a lot of criticism on their product. And their production was a giant portion of what I had a problem with. You know, as a fan, you pay to see a show, you have the right to criticize it. So the two of them, Pat Buck and Eric Tapout, came on my show, and they more or less just fucking ganged up on me. Now, like, the things that I had complaints about were legitimate. I mean, number one, they had no ring steps. Now, if you fast forward to current day, they had some form of GoFundMe, Kickstarter type page up to try to help them get things such as ring steps to improve their production so they can make a pitch for TV. So it's weird that they would focus on the same things that, as a consumer, I was saying, hey, man, it's fucking crazy. You guys don't even have ring steps. Like, you know, you'd have, like, your ring announcer had to stand on a chair to get onto the ring apron, you know, a folding chair, stand on the chair and get onto the ring apron. Not everyone's going to be able to dive into the ring or make some athletic move up to the apron, you know. This shit's crazy. So that was one of my criticisms. Another one was, they had no guardrails, which, hey, man, some companies don't have guardrails, but they had posts, like the, you know, like the movie theater post, and a chain. The chain was hanging low as shit, which, you know, could actually be more of a harm than it can be good. If you're doing it just for show, I guess you're doing it for show, but in the same token, like, that shit is, like, hanging pretty low. And then I look over, and there's actually a woman, she must have had, like, some connection with the company. Her purse is holding the one pole up. One of the four poles, or however many poles they had, her purse is holding it up. The thing was falling over, and her purse was the only thing keeping it in place. Now, you know, you imagine a wrestler hits that chain, those poles are popping up in the fucking air and landing wherever they're going to land. So, you know, just to me, it was another thing that looked like absolute shit. Their ring entrance collapsed during one of the entrances, and almost fell on people. And their argument there was, well, it didn't. Yeah, but it almost, like, the whole thing was coming down, which was just one of the most absurd things I saw. And also that, you know, the ring had broke, and during the Great Muta match, they had a giant crater in the middle of the ring that Sammy Callahan told me himself that he almost broke his fucking ankle in the ring because there was just a hole under that mat that was extremely dangerous. So, you know, things happen or whatever, but in the same token, if, you know, you don't take at least responsibility for your shit. It wasn't like I was trying to call them out or really anything like that. It was just criticism. Like, dude, what's going on with this stuff? Like, this is crazy shit. You got all these big names. You had the Great Muta on there. You had all these big names on there, and you got a ring falling apart, the entranceway is falling down, you have no ring steps, you got this crazy shit going on with your lack of guardrails and substitute with a chain and fucking poles, and, you know, and they just, like, you know, they took it upon themselves, you know, just try to, you know, bully me on the podcast, and it is what it is. Like, I can, you know, I can handle my own, but you get two people to try to make you look like an idiot because, you're pointing out obvious things that are a problem. I mean, if you don't see that as a problem, then you're not trying to take yourself serious running a company. So it continued from there, and we continued to have problems, and, you know, I'd criticize things, and, you know, it got to the point where I just plain didn't like these fucking guys. You know, and in my drinking days, I would get into these little battles with people online, and, you know, that's, like I said, a ways behind me, you know, being sober, you know, like a year and a half now, pretty much. So, you know, that stuff's behind me, but what I don't like, I don't like. I mean, if all would intensify things and have me really, you know, going at people and trying to fucking enrage them. And, you know, I did just that. I absolutely did just that. So that's where the whole thing was with them. So it's crazy that they would blow off someone who wanted to come and look at what they can line up, you know, for production, when in the long run, a lot of the problems with what they were doing was production. And this will also lead me into the first match, because that connected to the situation as well. But as entering the arena, like I said, the rec center, the Rahway Rec Center over there, great to see the building packed, entranceways looking awesome, the card is stacked. Go in there, you know, head to the bleachers. I got a good amount of nice pictures from the bleachers using my zoom lens, and yeah, it was probably, I don't know, 7-10 rows up. Sometimes the height actually helps you a little bit, because, you know, if you're down at crowd level, you got to shoot over everybody, and yeah, you're a little higher up and you got a lens that'll get you in there, not bad. So, you know, I could do a lot better up, but you know what it is. So I did all right. One of the first things upon sitting down, I've not attended a lot of wrestling shows within the past couple of years, after, you know, attending wrestling shows every single month for like 11 years. And every time I go now, one of my first things is just like a lot of wrestling fans just sicken me. There's obviously a lot of gargoyles in the crowd. You're just going to get that just really, you know, and I know it comes off fucked up, because, hey, I'm a wrestling fan too, and, you know, these are the people that pay to see the show, so it is what it is. But the ones that really, really get me is the people who decide that it's all about them. The people that are going to use a wrestling show to try to get themselves over. And that shit just, for some reason, just absolutely burns me. Like, it pisses me off. I want to see these people hurt. I noticed within a few rows in front of me, there's a guy, he's wearing a fucking horse mask, and, you know, he's getting himself all riled up, and he's standing, pumping his fists in the air, trying to just get all the attention he possibly can. He's got on like a vest with, heavy metal patches all over it, and he's got a fucking horse mask. And this is going to be his gimmick, because, you know, fans need gimmicks. I don't know why you need a gimmick when you're in the crowd. And, you know, then he gets the crowd, like a couple handful of people around him, you know, chanting, you know, "You fuck horses" at the wrestlers throughout the show. And it's just, you know, stop pandering to this fucking douche, man. There's a great show in front of you. Why does this one asshole have to be the center of attention in his world? It just fucking annoys me. I immediately just want to see him fall down steps, but sadly that did not happen. So anyway, I guess, you know, go right into the show. First matchup was Too Hot Steve Scott and Joey Janela. Now, this is actually the first time I've been in the same building with Joey Janela since Joey promised me that he would punch me in the face if he ever saw me. Now, I didn't go introduce myself, but, you know, I don't go out of my, I'm 36 years old. I don't go out of my way to fight people and things like that. That's a ridiculous way to live. But that, as I go back to the PWS stuff, stems from, I was going back and forth with Pat Buck and Eric Tap Out, and Joey took it upon himself that had nothing to do with him to come at me on the computer, of course, and, you know, proceed to threatening me and telling me he's going to beat shit out of me and all that, because I was coming down on PWS, and his loyalty to PWS made him want to be the White Knight, and this is what he was doing. And, you know, he that was it. You know what I mean? It left it at that. It didn't go on a long time or anything, but it was like a 1 to 2 day thing where he was, private messaging me and threatening me and all that shit. So I had never seen this guy in person. I had never seen this guy wrestle in person. I've seen him on a lot of cards. From what I've heard, he's a good wrestler. He's, very good. So obviously, just first experience seeing the guy, I'm looking at him like, oh, okay, so this is the guy threatening me. Okay, well, that's, as I told him on the computer, I don't think it would be a good idea for you to punch me in the face. I don't think it's going to work out the way, I'm not throwing threats back at you, but I'm just telling you, I don't think it's going to work out the way you think it is. And that's the same way I felt. No. Anyway, going into the actual match, it was a great match. The two of them busted their ass. Apparently, they've worked with each other a lot before. I think JCW or something is their kind of their stomping grounds or whatever. But I was impressed. I mean, this Too Hot Steve Scott guy is like a selfie gimmick where he's taking pictures of himself with his phone, in his entrance and every chance he gets in the ring and stuff. And that was cool. He got that over. And, Janela, he's a good wrestler. He's a good wrestler. He's got a lot of charisma. The two of them worked really well in the ring. So it was an excellent opener. Definitely like to see more of these guys. And, definitely a good way to kick off the show. Guys had a lot of energy, went in right from there. Match two went in Monster Mac versus Chris Dickinson. And this was labeled as, these two are going to kick the living shit out of each other. It's been a long time since Chris Dickinson's been in the ring with Monster Mac. I know they worked the Hit Squad when it was Sammy Callahan and Chris Dickinson, the United States Death Machine versus the Hit Squad back in, I forget what year that was. But, they wrestled then. But even way back, Dickinson had, known the Hit Squad and, came up around Jersey All-Pro where, he was a lot smaller. Since then, Dickinson has built up. He's a fucking monster now. He's running around fucking smashing people. He's a dominant wrestler. He's taking over the fucking indies right now. And at least the Northeast scene. Definitely like to see him travel over west. He had the PWG and stuff. But and it's a new look Dickinson, more or less, as at least compared to the past when they've clashed. And big matchup, big build-up, and these two fucking went at it. Dickinson came in the ring, cut a promo more or less saying, kind of like what I was saying, that he's running the fucking indies, no one's touching him, blah, blah, blah. Just, fuck all these new people that run around in here. He created Jersey All-Pro. No, getting himself some heat. He had actually just won the Jersey J Cup the night before at JCW, I think it is. He came in and, was going to play up the heel and who's going to stop him, what are you going to do about it, that whole thing. Out comes Monster Mac. And, like I said, these two kicked the shit out of each other. A great physical match. Dickinson just continues to prove that he's just a fucking animal. Gorilla presses fucking Mac. Press slams him. Runs across the ring with him and throws him into the corner. Fucking Dickinson hits a burning hammer on Monster Mac. I mean, just the thought of that shit overall. I mean, you put that down on paper and you go, he did what? Like, yeah. I mean, the dude, he's legit. That shit. Monster Mac came out with the win. Like I said, great match. Look to see those guys back in the ring again against each other. And, next up, you had Crime Time beating Danny DeMano and Damian Darling. A lot of D's. I haven't seen Damian Darling before. Danny DeMano is a guy who, he's always been able to work. Right now, he's definitely built like a guy who's sold things at the flea market for 10 years. But, he just looks like one of those guys. He's just horribly built. I mean, he's never, shredded. But I haven't seen Danny DeMano in a while. And, he's definitely not hitting the gym at all. If he is, I don't know, maybe the
maybe the first Monday of the month where they give you pizza at the Planet Fitness, you know, that day. I think there's another day they do bagels. But, you know, hey, man, the guy's always been able to work. So regardless of what shape he's in, he's always been able to work. I've never seen Crime Time live. And, you know, you never know what to expect out of these guys that have been on TV and stuff. And, you know, a lot of times they come and they phone it in because, you know, what do they really have to prove? They come in, they get their big paydays, and, hey, man, these guys, they came in there, and they had a lot of fun. They looked like they enjoyed being there. They had a lot of fun with it. They were a lot of fun to watch, and, yeah, man, I was very happy to see these dudes, you know, and working the way that they did, and like I said, it just legitimately looked like they were having a good time being there. So that was good shit. That was very good to see, and I, you know, hope to see a lot more of them on the indies. I want to see these guys match up with all the top indie tag teams. You know, now that they're back together, again, I don't know what their price tag is. I don't know if that's, you know, a hard get or whatever, but, you know, Crime Time Young Bucks and Crime Time Juicy Product and the Briscoes. And, I mean, it's endless possibilities with these guys. So then you had Necro Butcher and the Hooligans versus the Viking War Party in a six-man street fight. Now, earlier in the day, as I'm headed there, I'm reading the Facebook, and Necro posted 2 hours, or I believe it was four. I read it 2 hours before the bell time. But he posted perhaps dropping acid 4 hours before bell time is not the best idea. But a wise man once said, turn down for what? So he posted that, so I'm like, oh, okay, so the Necro Butcher's on acid. So luckily there wasn't a lot of, you know, super technical stuff or anything that, you know, he was putting anybody at huge risk. You know, at least I don't think so. I mean, he's been doing this brawling thing forever. I'm pretty sure he could do it in his sleep. And I've never really seen the Hooligans. I've never seen the Viking War Party before. You know, it was just a street fight, just brawl all over the arena. Had a, you know, a good spot because you really didn't have any of that type of hardcore element on the rest of the card. So these guys, you know, filled that in very well where, you know, anyone that was looking for that style of wrestling got their fix there. And you had to brawl all over the place, chair shots everywhere. They did this kind of wheelbarrow thing in the end where, the one hooligan wheelbarrowed the guy, and they traded off Necro and the other hooligan punching the guy in the face, and, you know, and then finished it with, like, the wheelbarrow into, like, a jumping DDT thing. It was pretty crazy. So, yeah, man, definitely had a good spot. Next up you had the best of the light heavyweight match with the Jersey All-Pro light heavyweight title on the line. Fuck, I don't have the people's names in front of me. I'm trying to read the results and go off my brain, but on the results, it doesn't have any. But it was G's. It was, fuck me. Let me see if I can pull this up somewhere else. Shit. All right. Let me see. All right. So you had Mark Quinn, Lucky 13, Bandito Jr., and geez, I think that's it. No, there's one other dude. What the fuck? So anyway, this guy comes out first. I think the first music that hits was fucking Youth's Gone Wild. So you heard John Zandig's music hit first. It was obviously not John Zandig in the Best of the Light Heavyweight match, but it was just funny because you had two, you know, quote, CZW guys in the match, fucking Zandig's music hit. So made me think it was going to be Lucky or something, you know, being funny. And it was just another guy completely unrelated to the CZW deal. So you had him come in. You had another guy who I think was from the House of Glory. I think that's what they call it, the training school over in New York. And this dude had, like, a haircut that was crossed between, like, Cisco and Road Warrior Hawk. And he was impressive. I like that dude. He was definitely impressive. Then you had G's and Bandito, of course. And let me see. Oh, and Lucky, of course. Yeah. So this match was good. This match was definitely good. I really expected that there was just no chance in hell that Bandito wasn't winning this match. Bandito was the only guy booked in the match for at least a week and a half. They had, like, Bandito and, like, a bunch of other guys. And I think it was initially booked to be a sixth man, best of the light heavyweights. I'm pretty sure they're always, like, six men. I don't know what happened. You know, maybe they came up short of the amount of people they needed or whatever the case was. I know initially it was Chris Hero was going to be in it because they announced they first announced Bandito, then they announced G's, and then it became Hero. And then when Hernandez wasn't going to be able to make it, they pulled him out of that match and made it Samoa Joe versus Chris Hero. So, you know, the question marks kind of stayed up there. So it was like, okay, so we pretty much have G's and Bandito. And, you know, just knowing that Bandito is just a home Jersey All-Pro, home-based dude, you know what I mean? And I didn't know. I was just like, I can't imagine he's not going to win this. So I was pleasantly surprised. You know, nothing against Bandito. I think he's an awesome wrestler. But, you know, anything too predictable, it's just like, yeah, don't go there with that, you know? Why not? Mix it up a little bit. And that's exactly what they did. They gave Black G's the Jersey All-Pro light heavyweight title. And I think that's awesome. I think that's absolutely awesome. You know, so there was that. You had Samoa Joe beating Chris Hero. And this match, man, they knocked the shit out of each other. This was some hard-hitting stuff. You know, for those who don't think Joe can go anymore, this definitely proved that he could. Hero absolutely took it to him. You know, he's still working that knockout kid gimmick. He's you know, he's a hard-hitting dude, and yeah, it was really good to see, you know, Joe back on the indies, at least for this night. And, you know, you always want to see the old Samoa Joe back. Yeah, I mean, you really do. And, you know, I don't know if that's going to be something that happens soon where we actually get him back on the indies. Like, the TNA just signed some TV deal with some branch of the Discovery Channel or something. So I don't know how that's going to pan out, but that starts up in January. So more or less, I think they're going to have the month of December with no TV time, then try to start off on, like, the Discovery Channel, Discovery Earth or some kind of crazy shit in January. So I can't imagine. If they weren't getting enough ratings on Spike TV, I think they're going to have big problems. But anyway, I don't know what the contracts are, you know, written up as. So who knows how long Joe will be kind of locked up, but definitely like to see him work more indie stuff. Samoa Joe is very missed on the indies, and this was a great match between him and Hero. Next up was what I would call definitely the match of the night, AJ Styles versus Matt Sydal. And these fucking guys, you know, you see many, many shows. There's head scissors everywhere. There's, you know, the different moves like that, you know, you're spinning head scissors and all sorts of hurricanranas and all that shit. And until you see like a Styles and Sydal do it, you don't realize how far off that everybody else, or not everybody, but a lot of other people are doing it. And I mean, these two guys, their offense and their selling and everything they do is just so fucking crisp. You know, as far as, you know, the way they take moves and deliver moves, just so fucking crisp. And I mean, you just can't beat the talent level of these two dudes. There's a reason why, you know, Sydal was in the WWE for all that time. There's a reason why, you know, even, you know, TNA call it what they call it, you know, but they used all those big names, those, you know, those big TV names for the top of their card. One of the consistent guys who was an indie name, and, you know, it came up from the NWA Wild Side, NWA TNA, kind of linked up pretty early on. And Styles always had that spot, always had that big fucking spot. So, but there's a reason for that, because he's that fucking good, you know. He really is. And love seeing Sydal back on the indies. This is the first I've seen him live.
you know, since he's been and gone. And this was just an awesome match, top to bottom. I like Styles towards the end, I guess, of his TNA run. He started working a little bit of a dirtier gimmick, and he transitioned right, you know, from doing that in TNA to doing the whole Bullet Club thing. And I definitely like this style better because not only does he have his high flying moves and stuff like that, he's got a lot of power game too in there. And, you know, just more of a ruthless style. And I think it's awesome. I've always been a fan of AJ Styles. And, yeah, this was just a top-notch match. So there was that. Then you had Charlie Haas and Shelton Benjamin with Kurt Angle. And you had Teddy Hart and Chris Sabin with Chris Hero. Chris Hero walked out there with Teddy Hart. Highly entertaining. Whole promo segment in the beginning of the match where they had, you know, back and forth between Angle and Hero, and Hero telling him, like, you know, you might not know who I am, but, you know, you get in this ring, I'm going to knock you the fuck out. You know, Angle going back at him and everything. Eventually during the match, Angle German suplex Chris Hero, and, you know, but, you know, Teddy, who I'd actually heard had to pull out, I think, midway through that tournament. The night before, he had a knee injury. Still worked this show, you know, showed up, did, you know, 100 fucking backflips, you know, did a fucking Teddy Hart show. You know, he put on a show. I think he looked real good in the ring, you know, did everything that he normally does for the most part. Chris Sabin worked. I've never seen Sabin, perhaps because he was in TNA for so long, and I think he'd worked some Japan after that. I kind of lost touch with what he was up to. I hadn't seen him with so much of like a comedic character as he worked in this match. Kind of like the chicken shit heel, but with like a comedic twist to it. You know what I mean? He worked that type of thing, and I just thought he was great. I mean, he was absolutely great in this match. He's always been a phenomenal wrestler, but the personality really came through, you know, big time in this match. And Haas and Benjamin looked great. I mean, they look like, you know, they haven't lost a step whatsoever. They still look like, you know, the WWE tag team they were before. So, yeah, this was good to see everybody there. And like I said, great overall show. I mean, there was not a match on that card that I would say was bad whatsoever. You know, top to bottom, complete entertainment. They're going to be back March 21st. And it says 2014, which is not the case because they're not going to, you know, go back in time to have another show. They're going to have, you know, March 21st, 2015, be back there. I'm going to be there for sure. That's actually a week before my birthday. So looking forward to that. Man, the way that this show was booked top to bottom was just fucking stacked. It's so good to see Fat Frank booking shows again because he's one of the guys that gets it. There's a few out there that get it. It's really not many. I mean, there's companies that are able to do something you can identify with them. John Zandig used to do it. There's so many indies right now that it's just copy and paste. You could copy and paste the whole card onto another card and then erase the name of the company up top, and it would be anybody's guess to know who actually, you know, ran the show or what the show is. You know, you just see that, you know, these guys versus these guys, and, you know, they've wrestled on five different shows. There's something unique about what Jersey All Pro has always done, and, you know, it's great to see them back. You know, one of the very originals over here on the East Coast independent scene, so definitely awesome to see them back, and I'm looking forward to the March show. After the show, too, you had, you know, the PWS jerk-offs posting on the fucking internet, you know, acting as if Jersey All-Pro didn't even draw, which is fucking ridiculous, because if you're in the building, you'd see it was absolutely packed, standing room only, you know, pulling out the other bleachers for more seats. I mean, it was just fucking awesome to see. So, you know, as they say, haters gonna hate is what it is, though. Yeah, fuck them. I just don't like the way that those dudes do business. Never have, never will. They're very childish and unprofessional. And you would hope that somebody would at least have the courtesy. Just be professional and have some kind of decorum. Have some kind of pride about yourself to not put yourself out there like a whiny little fucking schoolgirl. You know, trying to compete is one thing. Doing it in such a ridiculous way. Like, you know, the bullshit that they were even pulling with DJ where they bought out the web domain CZWWrestling.com. That would direct you to PWS's website because CZWrestling.com was the CZW site. So CZWWrestling, you know, with the two W's in there, that directed you to the Jersey All Pro site, which is no longer anymore. But in the same token, just like weaselly little shit like that, to not even do it in a professional adult way. You just gotta like sneaky nonsense. Like it just, to me, it doesn't earn you any respect amongst anybody who's looking at your company and trying to take you seriously. So it is what it is. They have their fans and they have their wrestlers who will, you know, threaten people online for them. But, you know, call it what you want. It's fine by me. Let me see. What else? I'm going to take a break, come back. Got a little bit more wrestling to talk about. Then I'll run down the NFL thing. Show will be a little shorter than I expected because, you know, I lost the interview. And like I said, I'll try to, you know, reschedule that in the future. You know, it's a big problem that he was trying to use an app that you buy credits and stuff and you go through this app because the international calling on the Canada side of things is ridiculously expensive. So he was trying to do that and the thing just crapped out on him and told him he couldn't buy more credits. So, maybe I'll try to catch him while he's in the U.S., maybe if he stays in the U.S. for a week. Or over a weekend or something, I'll try to catch him. But, you know, who knows? Definitely try to catch him in the future because I'd like to have him on the show. And I apologize to anybody out there that was looking forward to the interview. I sure was. And didn't even barely got started. So, got to take a break and come back with some more stuff. Let me see what the fuck. All right.
I got an 8 and a 9 and I'm still like hitting me. She don't write her rhymes, these better lines like Britney. I don't need a shooter, I'm the shooter, come get me. Got a 9mm resting on my right kidney. This for everybody that was claiming that they missed me. My foot wear crispy, fly it in the frisbee. Keep a paper made and some college rules with me. But can still come off the head like a 5950. Get the heroin from Houston, so I call it Whitney. It makes the fiend scream, so I call the fiend sick. Shoot at the crib, but I don't mean where your lips see. I mean the crib where your motherfucking kids sleep. You a square like that ugly ass Benz Jeep. I'm more hood than a Ku Klux Klan sheet. I'ma sit on the throne since hoes can't stand me. Ain't leaving till they quarter oust me. 7 Grammys, can't nobody tell me I don't dust this. I need some hammer pants, cause can't no bitch touch this. Sports got red handed, all y'all bitches busted. Might flow sick, north is disgusting. My mic sound nice, I just had to dust it. The rap game twisted, I'm here to adjust it. I know y'all flustered, y'all panties is bunching. Y'all know Remy rap hoes for breakfast in London. But if y'all play nice with me in a sandbox, I let y'all pussy breathe, no need for tampons. But if you wanna bleed my, welcome to Jam Rock. I just did 6 years, bitch, I'm nice with a cancer. All y'all hoes coochie, none of y'all won't pop. While y'all was in Gucci, she was in gunshot. Get accidentally shot, she keep a gun cocked. She got so many sons, bitch, she needs sunblock. Sunglasses and UV protection. She comes so hard, they should call her erection. Yeah, that girl dope, that's a lethal injection. She fucking with the kids, they all get molested. They say Rim is the best, these other bitches is cool. But Rim may eat them up, these other bitches is fool. Just speak your price, you'll easily finish them. She's so nice, she spit like Chris in them. Chris KRS-One, Christopher Big Butt. Yes, Jesus Christ, she'll just christen them. Bitches so thirsty, need Remy to quench in them. They all washed up, so really she's just rinsing them. Out in Beverly Hills, She be fresh, cleansing them. Hoes don't exist to her. She don't even mention them. Bitches can't play with her. They cold just straight bitching them. Tell them hoes hang it up. The girl is straight lynching them. Today I'm project pretty. Ghetto hot to city. And every hood shit wanna be like Remy. They say I walk and I talk like New York City. Okay, motherfuckers, so what's good? These bitches ain't doing nothing. Ice gets busy. Step a hoe, yeah, get smacked silly. But on the contrary, I pack some Mac Millie. And believe when my gun pop, it's gonna be a headshot. They locked me up, yeah, they gave Rim a pin. But they fucked up when they gave Rim a pin. No studio, so I was holding them. But soon as I got out, I started going fucking in. Pitching in, pitching in.
All right, I'm back. Real quick, I wanted to touch on this Charles Manson thing. The fucking guy's 80 years old. Fuck this guy. You know, there's a lot of people posting things about, well, he's going to marry this chick. He's got a marriage license, so he's going to marry this chick. I think she's 20-something years old. And, you know, a couple of the reports said mass murderer Charles Manson. Now, you know, everybody wants to jump up, come to his defense. He didn't actually murder anyone. Okay, and first off, he didn't actually murder anybody. Okay, fine. So they mislabeled it. But I don't understand the international and just never-ending love for fucking Charles Manson. I don't understand it. I don't understand where it became cool to really like someone who brainwashed and convinced a bunch of girls and whatnot. People to kill other people. Like, if this dude convinced someone to go kill someone in your family, you wouldn't go, oh, that guy's fucking cool, man. Manson, fucking, this guy's been in jail since fucking 68 or 69 or some shit like that. You know what I mean? Like 10 years before I was born, he was in fucking jail already for this shit. So how the fuck is everybody still running around like this dude is some kind of fucking hero? You know what I mean? I don't understand when it became cool. If anybody, you know, you knew your job, went and got a swastika tattooed on his fucking forehead, you'd go, this guy's fucked up. But for some reason, Charles Manson gets this crazy fucking pass where he's like, oh, man, that guy's so fucking cool. That's why, like, I don't know, man. I go a little bit further with it, but, like, that shit, like, all that death shit doesn't strike me as cool to me. Like, people like that whole dark gimmick, death, cool, man, fucking, it's morbid, fucking cemeteries, awesome, man. Like, I don't get it. I don't understand what's so fucking cool about that shit. So, I don't know. It's just shit that annoys me, and it becomes someone that, you know, actually had to do with other people getting killed, and, you know, they all of a sudden become these fucking cult, you know, no pun intended, but cult heroes and shit, and I don't understand it. I think it's retarded. I think people like that who have been in the fucking jail forever, you know, in prison, you know, for all these murders that he facilitated, to be able to marry people and shit like this is absolutely ridiculous. He's fucking 80 years old, and apparently the whole marriage certificate thing, marriage license thing, was delayed because the dude had been charged recently with having a weapon, attacking guards and shit like this, at 80 fucking years old. This dude should have been fucking euthanized a long fucking time ago. Before I was born, they should have put that motherfucker to death and moved on. You know, anybody that was killed because of what this guy was doing, that they don't have another fucking chance. They don't have another choice about what the fuck they want to do, if they want to marry somebody, if they want to attack a guard, they want to, you know, fucking fashion a shank today. 80 years old is not a fucking age that any one of those people saw. It's just bullshit that this motherfucker gets allowed to do anything. You know, when they want to lock these people up for all this fucking time, for murders and all this, it doesn't make any sense. They end up pouring money into these people, and then they get, you know, idolized. And you get 20-something-year-old bitches want to marry them and shit. For what? What the fuck? That shit don't make no sense at all. Somebody along the lines taught this bitch that shit was cool. I don't know, man. It's just, I'm just a different breed of cat, man. This shit just does not appeal to me the way it appeals to other people. They just want to, you know, they just want to pin themselves. I think a lot of it is people like to build up this
this badass image, like, I'm really into this shit. I'm really into that shit. But what their actual person speaks to, what they're actually all about, isn't really that scary at all. You know what I mean? Like, you see what these motherfuckers do day in and day out, and a lot of these motherfuckers are complete fucking just fraudulent, man. Like, there's not a rough, rugged thing about them, but they'll sit there and go, well, I like this dude that got people killed. I like this killer. I like death. I like it. Shut the fuck up, man. I mean, it's a scare tactic, and it becomes people's identity. And that doesn't speak to everybody, but I see a lot of people that live that life, you know, that just like to, they want to like all the dark, morbid shit, like they're real badasses, but you see what the fuck they do. You see, you know, these dudes that, you know, there's nothing physical they'll ever do in their life. There's just, you know, a lot of talk, no action. You know, a lot of complaining. Same motherfuckers that spend time just complaining and bitching like they can't handle life. You know, just ridiculous shit. And it doesn't apply to everybody, but you see enough of that shit. It seems to be the same type of people. But anyway, what else? Fucking speaking of ridiculous, apparently Tammy Lynch is now selling herself on Skype. She's advertising that for $10 for every 4 minutes for regular chat, $50 for 10 minutes with some skin, and she put in parentheses, boobs, and then $100 for 10 minutes to see a whole lot more, and then there's like the wink sign there. And it says, let me know if you're interested, and I'll give you the payment info. Once the payment comes through, I'll contact you to set up a time. It's a lot of fun, and you can do whatever you want on your end, Tam XOXO. So, yeah. I can guarantee you she's done a lot worse. But it's just hilarious when it becomes just absolutely blatant, no... You know, no shame, no anything, just like right out there, like, I'll do this. I'll pull my titties out for $50. Who wants it? So I just, it's just gross. But, so anyway, I watched a couple matches from CZW Cerebral, and I will say this, these two things. I think the No Raw Barbed Wire match with Niles Young and Biff Busick was absolute fucking garbage. Absolute garbage. And the thing to me is, if you are a company who has never run a No Rope Barbed Wire match, that type of shit might fly, and people might go, oh my God, that's really fucking crazy. You're in a company that has run No Rope Barbed Wire matches with John Zandig and Lobo, with Nick Gage and Nick Mondo, with the Necro Butcher and J.C. Bailey. Niles Young and fucking Biff Busick are not going to put a No Rope Barbed Wire match on that anybody... And the CZW fan base should give a motherfucker about. It was horrible. Fucking horrible. Just absolute garbage. And, you know, what also makes it worse is my other point about that show. And because I only watched these two matches because it was really what stuck out to me. And it was what I really wanted to watch. So that's what I watched. So I mean, if I miss some other really good shit on that show, you know, it is what it is. I got a lot of shit to catch up on. I got a bunch of different things that I need to watch. And shit, I still haven't even watched the Pro Wrestling Guerrilla Bola yet. So that's on my to-do list for sure. But it's, you know, just a tall order. It's three fucking shows. So I'm definitely going to be getting to that soon. And I want to see the House of Hardcore show. There's points to that I want to see. But I am really just way, way done with the ECW bullshit. So, like any of that Danny Doring nonsense, like that, I'm not into it. I'm not going to watch. Like, it'll be real easy for me to skip matches during that show because I don't give a fuck about them. I don't give a fuck about fucking Dudleys. I don't give a fuck about a lot of that dumb Sandman. Fuck a Sandman. But anyway, the other match on Cerebral was Chris Dickinson versus Matt Tremont. This match was fucking bananas. Like,
this is the type of shit that could headline fucking main event any fucking CZW show or any fucking show. Put it in Ring of Honor and call it a fight without honor. Put it in fucking Pro Wrestling Guerrilla and call it a guerrilla warfare match. Any fucking company you put that match in, and that shit will fucking top that card and have people go home talking about how great that shit was. This shit was fucking crazy. The chair shots in the match, that fucking Pazuzu bomb that Dickinson hit on fucking Tremont out of the ring through the into the fence. I mean, I don't know how the dude didn't break his neck. That shit right there was the epitome of what CZW used to be and shows glimpses of. But when it comes down to it, if you don't have the wherewithal while running a company such as CZW to know that you have that in your lap and put it in the fucking main event, instead it's the match before intermission, is that shit that you have no plans or there's no way you thought that that no rope barbed wire match was going to top that shit. There's no way you thought that shit. But you're so confident in your bullshit storyline that you have to put that at the end of the card because you've booked that shit. And you're trying to run with this bullshit title run of Niles Young, which is just the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. I'm still completely on the fence of whether I want to attend Cage of Death or not. I was kind of set way earlier in the year with no card, no build, which they kind of still don't have either one of those things. They have a couple matches booked, but definitely no build. I think the build started like a minute ago. Like, you have the Wired title with Strickland and Joe Gacy. Those two traded off the Wired title on Dojo Wars shows, and that was pretty much it. So, really no build, straight-up match at Cage of Death. Joe Gacy spent half the year wrestling fucking Alexander James. I don't know what the fuck. You know what I mean? And I like both of those dudes, and I think those two could have a great match at Cage of Death. But I'm just saying, build-wise, they didn't do fucking shit. They didn't do that match no favors as far as build to have a big blow-off at Cage of Death. Nothing. They just started the G storyline with, just him going for the title. That's the whole storyline in a nutshell, is him going for the title. Biff Busick is more or less like a rematch, and they never even explained him being in the match. And Drew Gulak is more or less like kind of a rematch type of thing. Like, they had a little bit of heat over the summer, but they never really built on that. They never did anything with it. And then it's just four dudes who want the title in the match in Cage of Death. That's your big blow off. Dickinson and DJ came off some legit shit where fucking DJ stopped booking them because of bullshit politics, and now they're gonna use that. You know, another one of these things where DJ legitimately drops the ball on shit and then tries to pretend like it's a storyline and he's just the greatest booker and heel ever. And that's the thing, like. For dudes like DJ and Niles who take themselves so motherfucking seriously and they swear to be great fucking heels, where are the bookings? Where exactly are the bookings? Because last time I checked, people who were tremendous heel or face are fucking booked everywhere, and I don't see neither one of them booked anywhere. So I don't know. Maybe I'm just hating or some shit. I don't fucking know. But it seems to me that I see the rest of the fucking card for the most part booked on all sorts of shows all over the country. And I see the two of them booked on pretty much CZW shows. And that's pretty much the end of the conversation with those two. There's a few things that DJ works, whatever interpromotional type of stuff, and he'll work his way onto those cards. Or if he goes overseas, he's immediately just, you know, grandfathered into every one of those trips. Or it's not even grandfathered, but you know what I mean. He's just attached to every trip they make wherever, then they put him on the show. But I don't know anybody that, independently of anything that has to do with CZW, they book DJ Hyde the wrestler or Niles Young the wrestler. I don't see it. Again, it could just be me. Maybe I'm just being, it's not like I'm even mad about this shit. I don't give a fuck. I just find it hard to believe that they take themselves that seriously when it comes down to
you know, the reality that's in front of everybody's face. I don't know. It just doesn't look like a good thing to build your company around when nobody else would even put those dudes on a low card, mid card, anything. So it's crazy. But anyway, so you get Dickinson versus DJ. So at best, Dickinson goes in there and kicks the fucking shit out of DJ, and the fans like that because they want to see DJ get fucked up. But, I mean, what does that really accomplish? I mean, it just clowns DJ once again, which he's continuously done, like when he booked Steen because Steen was legitimately talking shit. Steen comes in, Steen goes over, Steen leaves. And you know, end of story. What does DJ end up looking like at the end of the day? Right now he's having his Disney DJ wedding. He's having his the Mickey Mouse Experience wedding and shit. And good for him, man. That's some high price shit out there. So, you know, good for him. I'm sure he's having a good time. I don't think he's thinking one fucking bit about doing anything special with Cage of Death, and whether that be because of the marriage or just because that's the consistent thing that lately he doesn't give a fuck about booking. There was 5 days left to Night of Infamy, and there was one match written down, and then the rest of it was just thrown together, and it was a garbage show. That's your lead-in show. So I don't fucking know. It's just crazy as shit to me, but everybody out there, you got to go see that Dickinson-Tremont match. You really do, because I haven't heard enough buzz about it, and those dudes fucking killed each other, and that's tremendous shit. Absolutely tremendous shit. You could have put that same fucking match in the cage or somewhere high up on the Cage of Death card, and that was an immediate win as far as, you know, the getting over with the fans and making it something. But, you know what I mean, you got Tremont in the food fight and DJ versus Dickinson, man. So anyway, the WWE had a Grumpy Cat on, and that is what it is. I mean, you know, they've done these little goofy things with the guest hosts or whatever. I'm all done with Grumpy Cat, straight up. The memes were cute. The cat's cute. You know, I'm all about cats. But we've gotten to the point now where they're doing, like, fucking Christmas specials where they put, like, a bitch's voice in the cat and saying, like, cunty shit. It's just ridiculous. It's absolutely... They've jumped the shark with that fucking cat. It's completely fucked out. And enough with this cat. All right. Luke Harper won the IC title, which I think is pretty cool. I only watch, you know, from time to time, so I lose track of all sorts of shit going on. And apparently he's teamed up with the Authority now. And then Eric Rowan, who I can only imagine is just going to be released within the year, he's now on the other team. So it's crazy where you got, you know, one on Cena's team and one on the Authority. Bray Wyatt is doing what he's doing, but those guys aren't even really with him. It's weird. But so you got Luke Harper doing his thing. He's the IC champ, which I think is cool. Ryback is a thing again, where he's actually, you know, he's over again, and he's actually being pushed as like a dominant thing. So I think that's pretty cool. I thought Ryback's whole deal was good. You know, he was like another Goldberg and shit. I thought that was pretty cool. He must have done something wrong, and he got completely fucking just, you know, thrown with McGillicuddy or Curtis Axel or Henning or whatever you want to call him. He got thrown with him and just buried for a long time. And however, he got back into good graces with people, and they're pushing him again. So I think that's pretty cool. What else? Oh, they fired, or they got rid of, released, whatever you want to call it, the Great Khali. The Great Khali was always tremendously boring and awkward in the ring. He's could barely move. Now, when I saw The Longest Yard, and you just saw this fucking monster of a dude, I mean, sure. I mean, as a wrestling fan, one of the first things you think is, oh, how the fuck they get that guy in the ring? Like, and then you heard they signed him immediately. You're like, oh, that fucking guy from that movie. Holy shit, that's awesome. And you just think, man, that's awesome. You get a guy like Big Show, which I'm not a big Show fan, but in the same token, that fucking guy could move.
that guy can fucking move for a fucking size that he is. He always has been able to. You imagine if the great Kyle Lee can move like Big Show. I mean, it would have been a huge hit. So, you know, they latched onto that, and they held onto it for dear life. But the great Kyle Lee moved like a handicapped person. You know what I mean? Like, he's got no mobility whatsoever. So it was always just painful. You know, he's a sideshow. He's booked as, you know, a big guy that, you know, stands out amongst other people. And, you know, I get it. I understand because, I mean, fucking look at him. But in the same token, he can't move. So it was never, I don't know if they did some kind of tryout or, you know, at least have him walk around for a while and go, is that really, is that like every day? Is this a bad day for you? You know, is this like one of those arthritis days? Is this just how you live life? And, okay, well, that's not going to work out for us. Something. At least get him like the fucking Simon Dean segue. Let him, you know, save a little walking time to the ring. Maybe you could have, you know, a couple good steps once you get in the ring. I don't fucking know. But I'm glad to see him gone. Like I said, if he would have had more mobility, if the guy was able to really move, he'd be a huge asset. Just because anybody that size is, you know, a standout dude. I mean, he can't not stand out at that size. But it's a shame. But at the stage he was and his value in the company overall, I'm definitely glad he's gone. Because enough already. And, you know, you can't use a guy that size as a jobber. It doesn't make any fucking sense. Because then what kind of, you know, believability do you have on any big guy that shows up there and is just murdering people? You can't do anything that, you know, lives up to that hype. So what do? You job out something big like that, it hurts everybody else big in the company. So, I don't know. Next week, fucking Larry the Cable Guy on the thing. I just... they're definitely not selling their shit to me. I think that's pretty much all I had there. Let me get this fucking NFL shit up here. Let me see. So, yeah, the NFL last week. Let me see. Jesus Christ. Go over the scores real quick. Make this quick. All right. So you had the Dolphins beat the Bills. This kind of surprised me. I didn't expect the Dolphins to just run away with it like that. I kind of thought it was going to be a back-and-forth game. These two teams are really tough to call. The Dolphins are 6-4 now. Bills dropped to 5-5. But, you know, they're just tough to call. The Bears beat the Vikings. I expected the Bears to win, but, you know. The Texans beat the Browns, which is a surprising win to me. The Texans are 5-5. The Browns dropped to 6-4, and it just surprised me because, I mean, they just overall just ran away with it. J.J. Watt caught a fucking touchdown pass. I mean, you can't let shit like this happen. I don't give a fuck how much he wants to catch balls. I mean, this fucking guy is big as shit. If you can't cover that guy, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. So, you know, he's a fantastic defensive player. I understand that. But as far as like a wide receiver at his size or tight end, whatever you want to call him, come on, man. You got to be able to cover that bullshit. The Chiefs beat the Seahawks, which I expected, man. The Seahawks are definitely on wobbly legs. The Chiefs will definitely take advantage of that. And, yep, they got that off. So the Seahawks and us are now tied. The Falcons beat the Panthers, which I didn't expect, but, you know, both of these teams are bad. I kind of thought the Panthers were going to win this game, but, you know, 19-17 Falcons, 1-4-6, Panthers 3-7. The Bengals beat up the Saints. I thought the Saints were on a roll. I definitely thought the Bengals were going to have some problems with Drew Brees, you know, playing the way he's been playing, but bottom fell out. The Saints are now 4-6 and, you know, pretty much out of it. But I don't know. That division is pretty horrible. I think the Falcons at 4-6 might actually be leading that division. It's sad. Really fucking sad. I think it's the Saints, the Falcons, the Panthers, and the
and the Bucks. So, yeah, I think a 4-6 team leads the division. It's fucking silly. So they're not out of it at all. I think if your division leader falls under 500, that division should lose their fucking spot, and this should be like a third wild card spot instead. I think it's absolutely insane. If you get one division that has like crazy records, you get another division that their division leader is under 500. They should lose their fucking playoff spot, that division. Seriously. Make a third wild card spot. You're going to get better competition that way. How is that 4-something team not going to get blown out in the fucking playoffs? Crazy. The Bucks beat up the Redskins, which surprised me. There's a lot of controversy going on now where RG3's, you know, complaining about his teammates and stuff like that. I saw a funny little, you know, fake story that he's in advance complaining about his teammates in the loss of the Niners, you know, because they're playing this weekend. But, you know, a lot of problems going on over there. I don't know what you could expect. I mean, he got injured again coming into the season. You went through two different quarterbacks of, I think it was McCown, right? And Cousins. And you had these guys bouncing around in there, and then he got healthy again. That drew him back in there. There was no chemistry anywhere. You had him running all over the place. That fucking line isn't holding up for anybody. It's another one of those lines that I don't care how athletic your quarterback is. If, you know, the defense is getting back there that quick, you're getting hurt. And Robert Griffin, even though he's very elusive, doesn't make a lot of great decisions and takes some really, really scary hits. Man, right after he got in there, back off his injury, I saw a guy come around back and hit him right in the back of the knee. And I was like, holy shit, within his first series back, he's just going to be fucking blown out. And it didn't happen. Luckily, his knee cooperated with him on that one. But it just looked like the type of play where they're carting a guy off the field. And that was the first drive he had back from injury. So, I mean, this guy is not long for this league. If this is the way he's going to play and that's the way he's going to be protected, he's got to have something decision-wise to get him off of that fucking field in one piece. The Rams beat the Broncos. I don't know who the fuck could have picked this. But 22-7. Jesus Christ. Peyton Manning still throws for almost 400 yards, and they have 7 points. I don't know who could have called that. The Niners beat the Giants. This was a rough one, though, man. This was not a clean game. Cap threw for almost 200 yards. Gore rushed for almost 100 yards. Pretty good on those things. Crabtree, you know, caught 85 yards worth of the balls there. 5 interceptions. That was the big thing. And, you know, Eli made some bad decisions, but in the same token, that Niners defense is still playing phenomenal. When you factor in that Pat Willis and Navarro Bowman are both completely out of the game, not part of that Niners team for the most part this year. I mean, Pat was for a good portion of the year, but when he went out, you had the biggest fucking linebacker combo in the league. I mean, if you go back to last year, you name a better 1-2 punch linebacker-wise, and I don't think you're going to find it. Pat Willis and Navarro Bowman, those two control the field like no other. And to have Borland filling in. Chris Borland's a fucking rookie. This guy is running around, showing up with 17 tackles in games and shit. I mean, just insane. Absolutely insane the way that they've been able to you compensate for that. I mean, you got to imagine that most teams would completely crumble. If you had defensive leaders to the ability of a Pat Willis and Navarro Bowman, and both of those guys were just out of the game, that's crazy. I mean, it just – and Whitehole, you know, has completely filled the other side. Yeah, I mean, Whitehole's played awesome football, and Chris Borland is running around like a madman, tackles everywhere. He had 13 tackles in this game. And then the other big story is you have Lynch starting on the other side of a returning Alden Smith.
Now, the thing is, you know, you got Alden Smith in there. Obviously, Alden Smith's return was very, you know, anticipated. Alden Smith's been out of with a suspension all year. And Brooks has been in there, and he's been one of our veterans. Now, supposedly, you know, his contract's going to be coming up next year, and they've been talking about letting him go or a trade or something. I'm not sure if it's up, but they're definitely talking about not having him back next year, which I think opened up somewhere in the range of $7 million or up. He's making a ton of money, and deservingly so. The fucking guy made a huge play last week against New Orleans that helped win us the game. The guy is solid, absolutely solid. But you had this rookie. I think Lynch is a rookie. I could be wrong on this. I don't know why I'm completely blanking on that. But, let me see. I just want to double check. Yeah, he's a rookie, Lynch. And Aaron Lynch is playing awesome fucking football. He's getting in there, and you got a guy who's a rookie, you know, playing that type of ball. You have another guy who you're looking to move on from next year, making tons of money. Obviously, with the young guy playing great ball, you got to give him all the field time again. I mean, you can't just pull the plug next year, have Brooks out, and then patch in Lynch with no field time. The guy's playing great ball. You're not missing a step whatsoever with him in the game. Now, it was easy going when you had Lynch on one side and you had Brooks on the other side because Alden Smith was out for 9 games. Alden Smith comes back from 9-game suspension. I mean, Brooks probably thought, yeah, rookie back on the bench. But if their move is they're looking to move on from him, rookie can't go back on the bench. So it's not, you know, if that's going to be our future next year with him, you can't do it. So it sucks, but, you know, they had some turmoil there. And Brooks ended up benching himself because he wasn't getting enough time and just didn't come back in the game. He ended up apologizing since. He's going to have a big role against the Redskins, apparently. He's going to be back on the field and everything. You know, there's a lot being shaken up with that because, like I said, the guy's been a veteran for us. And, you know, it's tough. It's very tough. But, you know, we have a lot of big decisions. I wonder what's going to go on with Borland. Borland's a rookie making this type of plays. You get out, you get Patrick Willis and you get Navarro Bowman back next year healthy. What do you do? Holy shit. I mean, what do you do? It's a very, very tough call because, I mean, it's you got top-notch players across the board and part with one of them would be fucking devastating because they're all absolute stars in their own right. So, like I said, kind of dirty game, you know, didn't really win so confidently, you know, didn't score any in the fourth quarter. You know, all field goals in the first half. Ended up breaking out with a touchdown Crabtree in the third quarter. But, you know, we need some more executing in the red zone. For real, you know, you get in there and 3 field goals in the first half, that should have been 21 points. And there's no reason why we shouldn't be converting. But win's a win. Absolutely take it. 6-4 now, going up against the Redskins next week. And, you know, this week, I should say. The Chargers beat the Raiders. Packers beat the shit out of the Eagles. 53 points scored against the Eagles. The Cardinals beat the Lions, bringing them to 9-1. Jesus Christ, that's the fucking record in the league. The Pats beat the Colts. Steelers barely beat the Titans, didn't cover the fucking spread, you motherfucker. You know, so I had a pretty terrible week. After the week before winning my league over here, you know, follow that up with, I think, like 5 wins or some crazy shit like this. Let me see what I had. Let me go back. Yeah, week 11. Let me see. Yeah, I came in with 5 wins. Pretty terrible after having 11 the previous week. So, yeah.
Let me see. Picks for this week. Kansas City at Oakland. Kansas City favored by 7.5 points. I got to go with Kansas City coming off that big win against Seattle. Oakland is not a good team. Tennessee at Philly. Philly's favored by 11.5 points. I think they're going to beat up on Tennessee. Tennessee was able to, you know, stay really close to Pittsburgh. Philly just got embarrassed last week. I think they got to put up big points. It's going to be a race with them in Dallas, you know. Cincinnati at Houston. Houston's favored by 2.5 points. I got to go with Cincinnati. Jets at Buffalo. Buffalo favored 4.5. I'll go with Buffalo. Tampa Bay at Chicago. Chicago's favored by 6.5. I am not picking Tampa Bay. Detroit at New England. New England's favored by 7.5. I think New England continues to roll. They're really tough to beat in New England in the cold, and this is that time of year, man. Cleveland at Atlanta. Atlanta's favored by 3.5 points. I think Cleveland bounces back off of that loss, and they beat Atlanta. Green Bay at Minnesota. Green Bay's favored 9.5. I think they beat Minnesota pretty big. I'll go with Green Bay. Jacksonville at Indy. Indy's favored by 13.5, and I think they smashed Jacksonville. I don't like the points, though. It wouldn't surprise me if it wound up a little bit closer, but and I get fucked on the point spread. But St. Louis at San Diego. San Diego's favored by 5.5 points. I got to go with San Diego here. Arizona at Seattle. I don't know who the fuck I want in this game. Arizona is favored. No, Seattle is favored by 6.5. I'm going with Arizona on this one. And I know Seattle at home is a thing, but, you know, Seattle at home is not the same thing this year as it was last year. It's just not. You can't look at it like it's the same animal. It's not even remotely close. And Arizona is 9-1. Part of me wants Seattle to win the game to knock them down to at least 9-2. If they're going to be reached by either us or Seattle, they have to start taking losses immediately. But taking a loss to Seattle doesn't help us as much as it helps Seattle. So I really don't want to see that happen either. So I just need the stadium to just explode. I don't know. I just hate this game. I guess there's pluses and minuses to either one who wins. I hate Seattle with a passion, so of course I'll still have a little bit more of a smile on my face if Arizona beats Seattle, but in the same token, that does not help us for Arizona to stretch out further into first place. So, yeah, for relying on just a wild card, we're going to be battling Seattle, and we're going to be battling Green Bay, or who else is over there with Green Bay? I think Detroit. So we'll see. And you got Miami at Denver. Denver's favored by 7.5 points, man. I think they bounce back off of that loss against St. Louis and really hammer Miami. Washington at San Francisco. My guys are favored by 8.5 points, and I think we're going to take big advantage of them. Alden Smith and Lynch and, you know, or Brooks, depending on who's on the other side, they're going to actually just create complete havoc on RG3 shit. He's getting heavy criticism. There's a lot of uncertainty there. We've got to have our hands full with DeSean Jackson. Make no mistake about it, that motherfucking guy is a beast. So if RG3 has any time to throw and he's able to get it over to him, we're going to have our hands full with that guy. But we have been playing good, picking up a bunch of interceptions and whatnot. I don't think he's going to have all day to throw to him because our guys are going to get in there. So it's going to have to chip away short passes. That's pretty much the way that you can get at our team. I think if you stand in there and try to throw bombs, you're going to get lit up. So hopefully that's what's going to happen. Of course, I'm going with my guys. Dallas at the Giants. Dallas is favored by 3.5. Got to go with Dallas. Baltimore at New Orleans. New Orleans favored by 3.5 points. I'm going to go with New Orleans on this one. Even if their season is shot, if their season isn't shot because the nutty way it's shaking out. So yeah, that's that. I guess check out my dudes over there at the Wrestling Soup tomorrow night. Check out Sports Den tonight, I believe they'll be talking all that stuff. Check out my dude Andrew and Stephanie over there at Stern Nation. Think that's about all I got. Like I said, I apologize for not being able to get the Mike Bailey interview completed at all tonight. I didn't expect that to happen. And, yeah, I'll do my best to reschedule him in the future. See what I got as far as a guest for next week. I'm not really sure. And, yeah, that's about all I got. So, check you out next week. Peace.